All right, Chair Branch and board members, I have started the broadcast and we can begin.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, August 22nd. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes, thank you. Board Member White?
Here.
Board Member King?
Here.
Board Member Iman?
Here.
Board Member Brown?
Here.
Board Member DeGasis?
I'm here.
Board Member Clinton?
Present.
Board Member Whalen?
Here.
And Chair Branch?
Here. Now we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, the public
echo.
We have an echo. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips or hands up online?
Thank you, Chair Branch and board members. At this time, I don't see any members of the public joining via Zoom, and I don't have any speaker slips.
Okay, thank you. Administrative agenda amendments to the agenda, Mary?
Yes, good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. We don't have any adjustments. We do have two items, your first two items that we're asking you to make a motion and take action on continuing those items to your next meeting. And also for your next item, we do have minutes. And apologize, they're not really in chronological order, but you will be getting batches and hopefully more in chronological order until we catch up.
Great. Okay. Can we continue the minutes first? Or should we do that in? Okay, we'll do the minutes first. All right. Our next item then is A2, the review and approval of Design Review Board minutes. We'll start with March 28th. And can I get a motion to review and approve the minutes of March 28th?
I'll move to approve as submitted.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion on those minutes? Okay, then we'll vote with a roll call to approve that, please.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member King?
Yes.
Board Member Iman?
Yes.
Board Member Brown?
Yes.
Board Member DeGasis?
I was not present for that meeting.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. And now can I get a motion to approve the minutes of May 23rd?
So moved.
Second.
And another second. Any discussion on those minutes?
Yes, please. On item number C1, number one. Sorry, I don't have them in front of me. But the phrase refers to the fenestration with smaller lights. The word is spelled L-I-T-E-S, not L-I-G-H-T-S. They're two distinctly architecturally different things. That's all.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Cecilia?
This is on page 5 of 6 concerning public comment number one. I was listed in both the first sentence and in the second sentence. And it's kind of confusing the way it's listed because it said site visits and no ex parte discussions by certain members and me. And then it goes on to the second sentence. It says site visit and in-person and phone conversations reported by me. So I'm not sure how the clerk, I did talk to her about this, but I think it'd be more appropriate to just delete my name from the first sentence and just leave it in the second sentence and modify the second sentence and say site visit and in-person and phone conversation with the applicant by Member Brown.
Okay.
And then also in the motion, number 4, it was indicated that that the fixtures be dark sky compliant. As I remember, the fixtures were dark sky compliant, and there was a discussion about with Mr. Poirier of the fixtures on the building, which he went on to discuss how they were dark sky compliant. So I think that that, as far as I'm concerned, the project is dark sky compliant, so I think that that's, that number four should be eliminated.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll vote with roll call on the minutes of May 23rd.
With changes.
With amended changes, yes.
All right, Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member King?
Yes.
Board Member Iman?
Yes.
Board Member Brown?
Yes.
Board Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
I will abstain. I was not at that meeting. And now, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of June 27th?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? No? Okay, very good. Then we'll vote with roll call, please.
Okay, Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member King?
Yes.
Board Member Iman?
Yes.
Board Member Brown?
Yes.
Board Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. Okay. Getting some minutes done. That's good. This will take us to our conceptual preliminary final calendar. Items B1 and B2 are being continued to September 12th. So starting with item B1, could I get a motion to continue that to September 12th?
We have a motion to continue.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We'll vote with roll call, please.
Board Member White?
Aye.
Board Member King?
Yes.
Board Member Iman?
Yes.
Board Member Brown?
Yes.
Board Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. And now item B2, can I get a motion to continue that to September 12th?
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We'll vote with roll call, please.
Board Member White?
Aye.
Board Member King?
Aye.
Board Member Iman?
Aye.
Board Member Brown?
Aye.
Board Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes. We are flying through this agenda. That takes us to item B3. Can we have that read into the record, please?
Yes, thank you. This is item B3, 5490 Hollister Ave, APN 071-330-014. The steward signage and exterior lighting located at 5490 Hollister Avenue and California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15311, case numbers 22-0076-ZC, 22-0036-DRB.
Very good. Has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitations, no ex parte.
Yes, I visited the site and had no ex parte discussions.
I did not visit recently, but I'm very familiar with the site and no ex parte.
Previous site visit, no ex parte. Previous site visit several times, no ex parte.
Previous site visit, no ex parte.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Is Travis here? Yep, there you are. Hi, Travis. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you is the steward signage and lighting at 5490 Hollister Ave. The hotel on site is undergoing a name change and thus causing the need for new signage and an exterior light post So the new signs are as follows: a new non-illuminated pin-mounted letters for the steward on the hotel wall, another plaque for the steward on the hotel wall, a new internally illuminated double-faced monument sign at the driveway entrance of Hollister Avenue, a reface of the existing pole sign, and a 12-foot tall light post at the sidewalk that leads to a path to the hotel. This project contains the historic Sexton House. The project was reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission last night, and the commission recommended approval for your board. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Is the applicant here?
I am.
Hi, come on up, have a seat.
Can I make a request, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Is there any possible way to make the image on that screen bigger? I appreciate we have these tablets in front of us, but if there's some public here, it'd be helpful. Yeah, thank you. There you go. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, press the little where it says push and state your name for the record.
My name is Mark Blackford. I'm representing Signcraft, who is the applicant in this endeavor.
Very good.
Travis, as he responded, there are two plaques. The pin-mounted letters are of a bronze tone, architecturally neutral in their color. The monument sign itself is very simple with understated lettering and a simple logo. It is a total of 4 feet tall and 4 feet wide, so not anything of any great significance. The monument sign is a reface of the existing sign, and then, of course, rehabilitation of the poles and posts so that they are clean and neat. The color scheme chosen was deep green, invocative of our local scrub oaks, and then a tan, similar to what would be used for our hillsides.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm available for any questions. It's a pretty straightforward project.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant? Elizabeth, we'll start with you.
No, I have no questions.
No questions. Karis?
No questions. I have a comment, though.
Okay.
Can we do both?
Yeah, you can do both if you'd like.
The steward part, the part seems almost bigger and stronger than the steward part. And when it's up on the monument, on the big high one, the pylon one, kind of loses the, I don't know, it just seems like the steward should be bigger and thicker, maybe a little bit. That would be my only comment. I mean, I think it's fine if that's what you guys want, but my recommendation, if you can, within the, you know, the requirements, is to make that a little bit more substantial. Because the comes out, especially on the standing one, the monument sign, the comes out really like prominently.
Thank you for your feedback.
Pretty sure that wasn't the intention.
Jonathan?
Nothing.
Okay. Cecilia?
Yeah. As to the sign, the little flower-like thing, you know, it almost, I don't know how that will be in when it looks exactly, but it seems to me when you've got it on the pole sign, it sort of disappears, and you can hardly see it. And I'm just thinking that, do you want it, just the same comments that Clarice made, it seems to me that it needs to be stronger and bolder if it's to be really considered a part of their logo or whatever it is. So I'm not sure how you do that, thicken the lines or make it look bigger or something. Is that something that you could do?
It's something that the designer can consider, yes.
Okay, yeah. I just think it is, particularly when you look at the, if any of you have a copy of the pole sign, when you look at it, from the ground, it's like, well, what is that? It sort of disappears.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see what it is, anyway.
Okay, Martha?
Yeah, I agree with the other board members. I think all in all, the logo and the typeface is really weak, and it doesn't read well. I don't know if that's a corporate logo or if it's unique to this particular site, but it does seem rather fine and weak.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Branch. A couple of questions. For Mr. Lee, I'm a bit confused. As I read the staff report, there are four signs. I only found three in the graphics. Are there four signs in the proposal?
Member Whalen to the chair, yes, there are four signs. There's the pole sign, and then the...
The monument sign.
This is the monument sign.
The pin mounted and the plaque. My next question is, was there a graphic of the 18x8 wall plaque? I wasn't clear
on
what that looked like and where it went. It's described as going on the east side of the entry doors to the lobby. Was there a graphic for that?
There was on a previous plan.
The only thing that's going on the east side of the doors is the steward, which is 9 feet wide and 8 inches tall.
That's the pin-mounted individual letters, but in the staff report, it's listed as an 18-inch-by-8 and 3/8-inch wall plaque.
Yes, I was on a previous set of plans and not on this set.
That gets back to my first point. Are there four signs or are there three?
Right.
Okay. So do we assume that there is no wall plaque sign?
That would be a safe assumption because I'm not under contract to make one.
For you, okay. Yes. But it'd be nice to have some confirmation from the staff since that graphic doesn't appear in the package. I'll assume that it's not a part of the proposal.
Okay. It will not be. Right. It was in the previous submittal, but it was removed.
Okay.
Some things get lost. Okay. Let's see. Yes, in the graphic, if you could go to the graphic illustration of the pin-mounted sign, the photo illustration. Pardon me. And if you could zoom in on those, you'll see that there is a downspout, a troublesome downspout that neatly gets eliminated in the photo montage. What's happening to that downspout? Can you move the graphic, Mr. Lee, so that we can...
The computer can't handle it.
So there's the downspout, and if you scroll up, it magically disappears. The palm trees, too. I'll grant you that the palm trees aren't being removed, but what's happening to that downspout?
I'm not in a contract to move the downspout. I'm told that I will have a clear wall to apply my sign. I don't think it would look good with the S standing out on top of the downspout.
No, neither would it look good for the downspout to go zigzagging down the wall. I do have some reservations about the resolution of that one detail. Otherwise, it's a perfectly fine proposal. If staff could follow up in some way about the disposition of that downspout and how it's handled tastefully and not just...
Yeah, it kind of seems like it wants to move out to the corner.
Exactly, the whole thing.
Right.
From the scupper on down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as not to... And then this is not a historic building, right?
No.
It's the one next to it. All right. That's all of my comments and questions.
Jim, anything?
No, I have no questions or comments.
I have another question.
I don't have any questions or comments. I think I actually like the simplicity of the graphics. But I do agree, I don't know that the and steward need to be different sizes, but maybe if they just were a little bit more bold or something so that they pop a little bit. And I agreed with Cecilia about the little logo maybe popping out a little bit, but I like the proportion of this and all the negative space around it. It's a nice, simple sign. I think it's quite handsome.
I have to admit, this is the first time I've ever had somebody suggest that I make the sign bolder.
Sure.
Just the font.
Just the font, right.
Just the font.
All right.
I have another question.
Yes, Cecilia, go ahead.
Excuse me for not getting this at the beginning. I was looking at the lighting plan, and I see that... it's listed, and I think there's some error here. Oh, Christ, I hate these. To put on this computer. That it looks like it's listed as being an incandescent light. But from what I get from the lighting plan is that these are LEDs, and what I need to know is, what we need to know in order to ensure it's dark sky compliant is, we need to know the color temperature of the light, of the luminaire, of the lamp. Is it, do you know, 3,000 K?
I have no responsibility for the lighting plans or the installation thereof. I think Travis may have some information that could help you with.
Okay.
A member of the applicant team via Zoom will answer that question.
Hello, everybody. My name is Andrew. I'm representing Access GFA Architecture and Design. To answer your question, the specifications for this post-light fixture do list incandescent. I am not aware of the light, the color temperature for this light. I know that the previously approved path lights are 2700 K, which is a warm white. So we would have to verify that this bulb could match those.
Well, it appears that there is no, I appreciate your comment and thank you for that. And I would hope that is, but it doesn't appear that in the specifications that it comes in 27, it appears that it comes in only 3,000 K. And I guess the other question is then, if there was something previously approved, why are you changing the lighting fixtures? I mean, wouldn't it make sense if they were all the same? From what was, I don't recall exactly what was approved. But.
Yeah, thank you. If I may, so the previously approved, if you look at this plan, the small copper-colored cone path lights, those are low to the ground. And then this proposed dark bronze fixture is a 12-foot tall post light. So different manufacturers. So we wouldn't necessarily be able to match the previously approved fixtures exactly, since it's a different application.
Okay, so I'm sort of, Travis, maybe since people are on either side of me, members are discussing this with me, perhaps we could get some clarity on what is what, and what kind of lamp is being used for which? Can you do that?
The red clouded bronze fixture is the light post in question, signified by the purple dot near the sidewalk.
Okay, right.
And then the red dots along the path are the pathway lights that were previously approved.
So the red purple is going to be of what color temperature? 3,000?
That's for the applicant. The applicant team said 2700 to match.
Well, but I'm looking here at ordering information. It doesn't come in 27K.
Correct. So we'll have to investigate and see if we're able to obtain a 2700 or temperature bulb.
Okay.
Or option for this fixture. Is it a requirement that the color temperature match those the previously approved path lights, or because they're the lights are serving different purposes and are, you know, in a different plane from each other, would it be acceptable if the color temperatures were not an exact match?
Would you be all right if it were 3,000?
Yeah, and I was just going to make a comment, is that the difference between 27K and 3 is not that great.
Right.
And
correct.
So there's no reason why you couldn't be 3K, because that's still dark sky compliant.
Right.
So if we could just make a note in our minutes or
we could condition that.
We condition it that it be the 3,000 Kelvin and not be incandescent or whichever. I'm not sure what's incandescent. Anyway, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody other comments? Oh, Karis, go ahead.
It looks like your palm tree is going to be a little bit in the way of your sign on the wall. Well, I don't know what happened to mine. So maybe just look at if you raise it up a little bit so it fills in that space in between the top of the palm and the...
Well, it depends on where you're looking at it from. This is an approach driveway.
Yeah.
And as you approach, it will reveal as you pass that palm tree.
Okay. If that's the intent, then I can go along with that, but I could also support it being up higher so that you can see it the whole way so you know where you're coming.
Yeah, I think they still want to see it from underneath the portico.
Yeah.
Oh,
Travis, do we have any speaker slips or hands raised online?
Yes, public thank comment? You, Chair Branch and board members. At this time, I don't see any members of the public joining via Zoom, and I don't have speaker slips.
Okay, very good. It seems like there's enough here to make a motion, and so they can keep moving forward with a couple of conditions tossed in. Someone want to make a stab at a motion?
I move that we vote for approval of the 5490 Hollister Avenue Steward signage and exterior lighting with conditions that the exterior pole light be 3000 Kelvin lamp. Downspout being moved out of the sign area to the corner of the building.
Could we condition that to be moved out of the court, either to the corner of the building or next to the portico?
Yeah, I think that's either of those is fine. Just want, we just want it out of the way of the out of the sign.
Yes. Is that sufficient motion?
I think so. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All right, can we vote with roll call, please?
Board Member King?
Yes.
Board Member Iman?
Aye.
Board Member Brown?
Aye.
Board Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
All right. That will take us to our conceptual review of item C1.
Yes, thank you. This is item C1, 550 Cambridge Drive, APN 069-560-030. Cambridge 3D Printed Single Family Residence, case number 23-0020-DRB.
Very good. And has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I visited the site and have had no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I live close by, so I walked to the site and saw someone I knew who's working in the garden there, and I asked him to take me on a tour of the site, and he did that, and we talked about the project, and he took me into the old Victorian residence as well. So I had a nice view of the project.
Very good. Jonathan?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Elizabeth?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. And Chris, you gonna go over there? Once you get there, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair Branch and board members. The project before you today is for a newly constructed, approximately 1,300 square foot 3D printed residence. On the site is a church. The church, just so you know, is a historic resource in the city. It is commonly known as Cambridge Community Church, but its historic name was University Baptist Church and First Baptist Church of Goleta Valley. Just for planning wise, there has not been an official planning application submitted, so the project here is just for conceptual comments. What the entitlement will be determined once we go through completeness review for the project. So the applicant's here for your comments.
Christina, the Victorian house is also a historic structure.
Thank you, Board Member Brown. Actually, it is not. It used to be in the general plan, Goleta General Plan, the red Italianate house. However, in 2018, when the Historic Resources Ordinance was adopted, it did not meet the criteria for that. So it is no longer listed as a historic resource. However, if board members or members of the public would like to include that, there is a process for that. But at this time, it is not. And also, there are no proposed modifications to either that building or the church as part of this proposal. Right. Thank you.
Very good. Welcome. Turn the microphone on and state your names and proceed.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hello, Chair Branch and members of the board. My name is Jolie Wall. I am the design director for the RRM Design Group, and I have with me Jennifer McGovern, who's the president of the Housing Trust of Santa Barbara County. We also have virtually joining us Gabby Trelis, who is also with the RRM Design Group.
We have church members as well that are online.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we are pleased to present to you today a conceptual design, as was described, for a new 1,353 square foot single family, one story affordable home. It's located at 550 Cambridge Drive. This residence is being developed by the Housing Trust Fund of Santa Barbara County, and it is also located, as was said, on the property is owned by the community church.
Can I interject? It's a joint effort of Cambridge Drive Community Church and the Housing Trust Fund.
Yes. So as going on to the home is actually a prototype that we are exploring using new 3D printing technologies. And we're exploring affordable and sustainable ways to create new housing for the Santa Barbara County area. This 3D printing technology will utilize a mobile printer and pump system that will create channeled concrete walls that are actually comparable structurally to reinforced concrete block walls. So the proposed home will sit on the southeast corner. If we could go to sheet A1, which is also PDF number 2, or you can see it there. Okay, perfect. Yep. Thank you. The home is in that hatched area, which is the southeast corner of the property. There is a structure next to it, an existing church structure, which is images.
Yeah, but, you know, it's difficult. Can we just blow it up, Christina, or who's ever there, so that we could see what that looks like? I'm sorry to do that. I'm just not familiar with how to manipulate my computer here.
That's okay.
Okay.
As you can see from the the red structure is the existing one-story structure on the property.
Right.
And we are proposing that the new home be located next door to that. If we want to go to the site plan, I can explain further how that will work. So that would be sheet A2 or PDF number 3.
It doesn't show the. Oh, there it is.
Okay. So as you can see, we are proposing a new permeable paved driveway to come up directly up off of Cambridge Drive. So that will occur between the house next door and the new house that is proposed. We also will have a pedestrian walk that will be a set of steps that are coming up also off of Cambridge Drive, entering up onto a sort of entry area, entry landing and porch for the residence itself. Sort of walking you through the home, let me just sort of give you a brief overview of the overall of the site plan. So we have the driveway, the entry there, the home itself, and then also towards the rear property area, the backyard area, there will be a permeable paved patio and a gravel area, which you'll see in the landscape plans. We'll have some raised vegetable beds and such. On the house itself, the As you proceed through the entry, you'll enter into a foyer with entry closet, then entering into a large great room, vaulted great room area, which will consist of living, dining, and an open kitchen with an island. Off of that will be a vestibule, which will have two secondary bedrooms and a shared bath. And then on through another hall, you will actually access the primary suite, which actually has an ensuite bathroom and closet, and then access to an attached two-car garage, as well as a laundry utility room in the back that also gains access to the rear yard. There's also access to the rear yard from the primary suite as well. So if we can go to the next slide, please. So as far as the plan goes, I think actually this sort of just illustrates in a larger plan what we have here. If we go to the next slide, please. This is the roof plan. We also wanted to indicate from a sustainability standpoint, we are proposing that this be an electric project, and there will be solar photovoltaic panels on the roof structures facing south to maximize the solar gain. On to the next. And then looking at the elevations and massing, as you can see, we've chosen to express, maximize the efficiency and of this 3D printing technology by expressing the texture. There's a horizontal ribbed concrete texture that is produced through the 3D printing technology. And so on the exterior, we've chosen to express that and also take advantage of the ability of this particular technology to be able to create more curved and more unusual shapes that are specifically unique to the technology. As you can see here, we have basically two masses. There's the taller mass to the right with the shed roof, which is the great room, which will be vaulted on the interior. And then to the left there's a low gable, which is basically all the secondary bedrooms, and garage structure. Also regarding this elevation, as you can see, the way the technology works materials-wise, we do have the ribbed material below. There is a concrete bond beam, which is part of the structure on the upper part of that taller structure, and then a smoother stucco component, which is part of the covering the structure, which actually is related to the roof. So, and so we thought it was nice to actually be able to sort of express that as well in the elevations. As far as materials, well, you can continue on. You can see that. So that is the front elevation on the top coming up from Cambridge Drive. The elevation below is the elevation to the south, which is the great room structure to the left with the large tall windows and the sliding door and access off the kitchen, and then small windows that are related to the bedroom and bathroom for the primary suite. Again, those taller windows actually providing privacy for the residents themselves from the other neighboring property. Next elevations, please. Then here on the top, we have the elevation from the rear, which is the backyard area, the garage, the windows to the right being to the garage, the two doors to the left being the sliding door access from the primary suite, and the door coming from the utility and laundry room area. Then the elevation below, we have the garage elevation, which will run along that driveway coming up from Cambridge Road. So as you enter up, then you'll come into a little bit of a driveway auto court area, proposing a wood-toned garage door, the windows to the secondary bedrooms. And you'll also see that taller element within the home, the great room, has clear story windows that are facing to the north to add additional light. Okay, next elevation or next drawing. Okay, touching base on our materials, as I mentioned before, we do have the expressed concrete horizontal ribbed surface. We'll have a concrete bond beam, some smooth stucco to fill structural areas that are more conventional framing areas. The roof will be a asphalt shingle blend of lighter and darker warm tone grays. The fascia element will be a painted wood fascia as well as a painted front door. The windows are proposed as vinyl windows and they are a terracotta color. And then we've also elected, there is also a little, as far as accents go, there is a circular wood column that we would like in the front entry, as well as you can see, there are some little square colored glass block elements that we're proposing, again, to take advantage of the technology to propose these glass blocks that are inset, so they provide light, colored light coming in from the exterior into the interior rooms as well. The other thing we do note on here is you'll see there is rain chains. There are some rain chains at the corners of the roof overhangs. These are our exploration into gathering roof water, rainwater and roof water, and taking them down into either a rain barrel type thing that we are looking into a way to either use that for landscape water or it will be dispersed further into the landscape areas. Next slide, please. These are some perspective views for you. The first one being from Cambridge Drive. The second one to the right being looking up the driveway area and towards the home. The lower left is the rear yard elevation. And then
pardon the interruption, Chair Branch. Sure. Could the applicant speak into the microphone?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. And then, again, the lower right elevation is, again, a direct view from Cambridge Drive. Okay. Next photo, please. We also have taken a look preliminarily at the civil components and stormwater. At this point, we are at tier one, so we are less than 5,000. We're at about 4,000, 4,500 as far as permeable and non-permeable, impervious. If you go on to the next slide, please. So we have, in addressing that tier one, we have attempted to minimize the amount of additional grading, trying to work with grades as best as we can, coming out closer, trying to reach a net zero as far as cut and fill goes. Sorry. Next slide, please. And then as far as, sorry, I'm just going to check my notes, make sure I didn't forget anything here. This is our landscape plan. And we've also, moved forward hoping to get your comments and thoughts on this as well. So the landscape plan is, as I said, permeable pavers on the driveway, permeable pavers on the back patio. That lower area to the bottom of the plan is a gravel area, and then the raised vegetable beds. There are fruit trees along the east property line there, and then all of the other proposed planting will be native, drought tolerant. The idea here is we're really looking at the ability to harvest and reuse rainwater to try and create an opportunity for some urban gardening. So, and then there are various stepping stone paths as well circulating throughout the site. And I believe that is the end of our presentation, unless Jennifer, you had anything that you would like to add?
Oh, just that it's going to be the first 3D printed affordable home in Santa Barbara County. And it's a prototype, and it'll be proof of concept. And hopefully it will encourage, if it shows promise with saving time and cost to produce affordable housing. We're hoping to do a next phase, which might be printing of tiny homes for homeless people. The other thing is it's on surplus church land. And we're hoping that this would open up a dialogue maybe with the city about looking at some kind of zoning overlays to encourage other religious organizations to do housing on their excess land.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're going to have tons of questions. Jim, you want to start?
Yeah. You said this is going to be a prototype. Do you know who's going to? You have three bedrooms here. Who's going to live in the house right now?
We're in discussions with Transition House because the church has a relationship with that organization. A lot of the church members volunteer there. We're looking for a housing provider that would master lease the home and run the home. And they're one candidate at this point. So it would be a low-income household.
It would be what?
A low-income household because it's affordable. And it would be with an agency that would be responsible for the overall management.
So in this particular prototype, who's going to be in there right now after it's built?
There'll be selection of a low-income family.
I see.
Nobody's identified at this point.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Dennis, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Chair Branch. Jennifer, you mentioned affordability. And while this is an experimental in nature as a proposal, how does this reflect the values of the church?
Well, I can't speak for the church other than I've been dialoguing with them. And they have a long history of being involved in affordable housing. They were part of a coalition years ago that developed an affordable rental project in Old Town Goleta. They operate a safe parking program on their property right now for people in cars that are homeless. And many of the parishioners apparently volunteer at Transition House. So they have a keen interest in affordable housing. And I think also they were intrigued with the 3D printing. And also...
I apologize. I associated you with the church, but you're with the housing agency.
I'm with the Housing Trust Fund, yeah.
But then perhaps to Ms. Wong... since the experimental nature of this, there's really no proven track record of its affordability. So why was this method chosen?
I think there's been a great deal of interest from the architectural community as well as from a technological point of view with 3D printing. We chose this assuming that I think with the idea that obviously, the labor costs could be addressed, as well as an economy in, as I said, by expressing the exterior material that we are creating structure as well as exterior finish and other items all at the same time. And I think as far as affordability goes, you know, this is exactly it. It's a prototype.
It's sort of theoretical on paper.
Exactly.
I could add to that if you want.
It's a noble ambition. So is the printed material the expression that we get? It has no finish over it?
Correct. On the exterior, it is a layering. It is a concrete material that is pumped out and piped in ribbed layers. And it does pipe as a channel, so it actually has sort of a Y component inside, so it has two sides to it, and then some elements on the interior. So
I've watched YouTube videos with great fascination. My last question: PV panels were shown in your presentation. They don't appear on the elevations. Are they a part of the project, or again, is that just a hopeful projection?
Well, they were indicated, I believe, on the roof plan. We were
on the roof plan, but they don't show up on the elevations.
On the elevations, you're right.
Okay, so that led to my question, are they in or ain't they?
I would
think your intention is they
our
are.
Intention is that they are in.
All right.
Because we're trying to
good answer.
We're trying to create a sustainable point of view on this, and part of that is the idea of the solar panels and the electric base.
Got it. Good. Martha, questions?
I do have a couple questions.
Sure.
So the concrete, I understand, that's used is fairly specialized.
It is a specialized
material. Able to be colored? It looks like your renderings are, have kind of a tan tone, or is it necessary that it just be a regular concrete color?
It's a very good question, and it's one that we'll have to bring up to the manufacturer. At this point, our understanding of everything that we've seen so far, it has just been that particular base color that they've worked with. And and I would think if we're looking at affordability, we can ask them, but we might want to work with
that seems like all the ones that I saw videos of were just standard concrete color. This is not to do with aesthetics, but how is it reinforced? Most of the ones I saw that I was, quote, researching, unquote, this was built in other states. Is it reinforced with a rebar, or is it?
Yes.
It's got rebar placed in it.
It's equivalent to concrete masonry construction. And that's how we'll get a building permit.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you have to show that.
Fascinating, really.
Yeah.
And so the company that would build it is brought in from another region, I expect.
Yeah, the company that we're working with, Apis Core, is currently located in Florida. Mm-hmm. And we'll arrange, we do the foundation conventionally, mm-hmm. and all the site improvements. And then when we're ready, the team comes out. And they will 3D print the walls within a couple of days. So it's very quick. And then we'll have the rest done conventional construction.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I do have a comment. Do you want me to include that now?
Let's go.
Yeah. We'll okay.
Continue with questions. Cecilia?
Thank you. Having walked the site, I have some questions about the location of the house on the site and how you chose that.
Okay.
You can perhaps the one, I'm not sure which sheet, but I'd like to see a sheet where it has.
There you go.
Not right. That one, but I want to see it, the conjunction with the structure house. Next door with the red house next door.
So the photos.
Yeah, I guess it's a photo.
So it's the sheet before this, A1?
Yeah.
Is that
I can't, you know.
I know. It's difficult to see from far away.
Because it apparently, so my question is just a little further on, is the driveway is very close to that structure. And so I'm wanting to know is why did you put the house in the location that you did?
I can answer that.
Okay.
The church wanted to maximize the amount of land for potential urban farming. That was another thing the church wanted to do.
That's to the north.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's to the east.
And then there was a discussion. We had the initial drawings with RRM design showed three driveway potentials. Okay. One was to come in on the existing access of the church and go along the front, past the front of the red house. And the other one was to go all the way around. And then the third option was to come directly with a new access. And the church felt that going around would take up too much land. And they also didn't want to, they wanted the house to be separate mm-hmm. from church activities. So they opted for a new access road. Okay.
So the reason for my question is that the driveway appears very close to that house. And I don't know how will you, if they wanted this project to sort of be separate from their site, it seems like that with the driveway so close, there's very little room for a fence or for landscaping that would visually separate the two. And that's why just looking at how much land you have to the south, next to the Mormon church, why it isn't closer that way a little bit and the driveway closer to the house so there is more land between the church.
Yeah, that was also discussed.
Okay.
And the idea would be to provide optimum play area for the household because there'll probably be children living in the home. And the other thing is the red house is not occupied. It's used for community meetings. And the roadway is on the rear of it, so it really won't interfere with access, people going to, I think Alcoholics Anonymous has meetings
groups,
there.
Yeah.
So, but that was a discussion item, and you know, that's where we're at this point.
So, but in earlier comments, it was indicated that the play area is to the east of the house, not next to the driveway. That's what the presentation went.
Well, the play area would be to the
east.
I'm sorry,
east,
east and south.
Right,
but also,
right.
As far as why the driveway is not closer to the home is to allow backup space and turnaround space. As when you're driving up the driveway, you need to turn into the garage, and then to be able to pull out of the garage, we need to have a certain depth to be able to back up and turn around. Okay.
And also, if there's another question, this is long range, and perhaps it's not part of the project, but if there's a consideration for another home to the east of this one at some point in time, right, this driver would have to serve both those homes?
Not necessarily. They could have a separate access at that point, but that would be a decision from the church on how they want to use that back portion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I notice, okay, because I noticed as I walked around on the eastern side, there is that big, looks like a big easement across the property on the eastern edge. You don't see it here in any of your plans. I just, okay, that's neither here nor there. That's not involved. But anyway, okay. What's interesting to me is I stood there and looked at this property and sort of various configurations that the best views are to the north, and the views would be seen only from the bedrooms. And I'm wondering, it would be nice if they were seen from the living space. So did you consider that when you designed the house? Did you look at you have these great views of the mountains. I mean, they're spectacular, actually. Was that?
We did. Oh, go ahead, Jennifer. No, go ahead. We went through a number of iterations regarding location of the particular spaces in the home. And in this particular case, you know, looking at taking in consideration also, you know, not to go back to it, but driveway location and rear yard and side yard, proximities to yard areas and places for exterior family uses. You know, if it were to be flipped, it would have put the backyard next to the existing home, the existing church building.
Okay. So another question is, when you were speaking with the church about the position of the location of the house and its relationship to the older house, because as a community member, I look at the older structure as being it's a Victorian structure, and it's really different than this house. It really looks really different. I like this, but it's really different, and it seems to me that there needs to be some sort of visual separation to highlight both, if you will. What was the church's philosophy on kind of no landscaping on the north side of the driveway? It's just, you just show the driveway, but there's nothing. I don't know where the property is. There's not a property line. There's some sort of line. What is it? How is it distinguished? How is the site distinguished if it's just on this one parcel, the church's parcel, right?
Right. There is no specific property line, but as far as if you're designating area, I think there would be a proposition to add some landscape, obviously, to the other side of the driveway. But as far as
Okay. So there, that's interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Making sure that's okay with you.
Okay.
We're not the ultimate decider, it's the church.
Okay,
but we can discuss that with the church.
But you come before the board and we have these ideas and questions, and it's good to hear what the church would like to do, but we don't have that information. I mean, you have to give it to us. Now, how far is the front of the house from the street? Do you know what's that setback in the front?
It is, sorry.
27, 8 1/4.
Okay. There we go. Thank you very much.
And the side yard is?
Is
16, 4 1/4.
Okay. So that's, okay. All right. No. Okay. And are you planning to do any lighting on the site? Like pathway lighting?
We have not approach that part of the design at this point. Obviously, there will be some exterior lighting on the house itself, but we'll be dark sky compliant. And I would think that there would probably be maybe some pathway lighting. You would hope from the
dark.
Yeah, from the stairs in the front for safety purposes and et cetera.
So we'll see a lighting
plan. We would propose something like that.
That's it so far. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Jonathan, any questions?
Well, I hope it's been answered. After our earthquake a day or two ago and a Florida construction company, I just hope it really is seismically designed for our environment and not just to resist hurricanes. So,
The company actually was originally based in Berkeley, California, so they're very familiar with California. And actually, the round feature on the home is very earthquake resistant. Yes. And there's also, I guess, cross hatching as part of the 3D printing in addition to the rebarb. So it's a really strong structure. And it's also fire resistant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's, those are two good things.
Very good.
Thank you.
Karis, any questions? Elizabeth?
I just not familiar with the layer of having the church, the nonprofit, as an ownership in with this layer of low-income housing. Are there any concessions or anything you're going to be seeking with this one?
Well, the home will belong to the church. It's on their property, and there will be an affordability covenant put on the property for the home. So they'll have to maintain it for a number of years as affordable.
Okay, for a number of years then.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good. You have another question, Cecilia?
So I just guess from that, it would seem to me that, or I guess the question is, because this belongs to the church, right, that they could just put whoever they wanted into it. So it could be in perpetuity, I mean, unofficial in perpetuity as an affordable thing rather than, how would that work?
The intention of the church is to master lease the home to a housing provider to handle all of that, because the church doesn't really want to have the operational capacity, you know, to be a landlord. So we will be working on a legal agreement for the master lease between the church and the housing provider. And then there'll be two layers of covenants on the property. One, because some of the permanent financing is coming from the county of Santa Barbara, they require 20-year affordability. And because other parts of the financing is coming from the housing trust fund, we'll probably require 30 years. So it will definitely be maintained as affordable housing to protect the public investment of money into it.
So it's then just on the house.
Just on the house.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I only have one question. Do you have any idea what the cost per square foot is for the construction of this?
I'm sorry, not at this point. We do not.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on that.
TBD.
Well, exactly. one of the parts of the prototype is we're going to do a cost comparison. So we have an initial cost comparison for almost an equivalent home and size conventional construction. Mm-hmm. And we'll update that because we increased the square footage about a couple hundred square feet. That'll be our baseline, and then we'll compare the 3D printed home. But we have to weed out the outliers because your conventional house does not have curved walls, et cetera.
Right.
But also, we're testing time as well as cost.
Right.
A prototype always costs more. We know that.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the structural walls primarily because the foundation is the same. It's going to be concrete poured foundation. The roof's the same, the windows. So we're really just looking at that one component, and did it save money? Did it save time? And then we can extrapolate that to a larger scale project. And then say, you know, that's part of the experiment. Is this a worthwhile technology? Does it really save that much to promote it?
Cool. All right, let's get to comments about the architectural aspect, the aesthetic components that we're charged with. So you, anything, Jim, on that? Any comments on the architecture or the aesthetics of this?
No, I have none.
Dennis?
Well, thank you, Chair Branch. Members seem to have veered way out of our lane on comments, but it is an intriguing idea, and I think that reveals that we're all interested in not only new technologies, but this one in particular, and providing low-cost housing, which Goleta seems to be doing a lot better than other parts of the county. But that aside, my first comment is, that's got to be the most colorful closet I've ever seen. Why you want to waste all that energy on a closet? Well, maybe somebody will make that into a room. Now, when in my architectural education and training, there was a definite relationship between the plan, the section, and the elevation. Ms. Wong, you may know what I'm talking about. Jennifer, you may not know what I'm talking about. I don't see that relationship in this design. It seems to me the appeal of these printed houses are their ability to come up with a new building type, whereas this one, it just has a conventional hat on it. And it's, frankly, kind of weird looking, especially from the street view. Now, I think part of our charges here are neighborhood compatibility. This is way outside anything in the neighborhood, with the caveat that on either side of it are the two churches, which are very experimental, and we end up with sort of an architectural theme park. And if this proposal doesn't pan out, we're sort of stuck with this house, be that as it may, whether it's a handsome design or it's kind of a noble failure. I do have some reservations about the design and the design choices that you've made. It does seem to me that if the plan, and Member Branch mentioned this, if the plan were flipped and mirrored and reversed, that it would seem much more conventional in the neighborhood if the rectilinear faced the street and these more adventurous or experimental notions of curves were in the backside and could be reflected in further developments if you continue with these printed houses and get a little village of them going. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Martha, comments?
Yes. I think the building and the elevation and it is very handsome, and I think those tall windows do sort of reflect a bit of the church architecture. The slanted roofs, I like the way they intersect, and I love the curved form on the street. All in all, I think it's very handsome. The entry walkway, I think, is probably a little overblown with the printed cylindrical elements. I think that could probably be downplayed because it does mask a little bit the form of the building, yeah. I understand the steps. That seems to be critical to your grading design. So all in all, I think it's lovely.
Cecilia?
Thank you. Since I live nearby, I've walked by this house many times, or this house, this site, and always have thought about, because I know I've talked to Jennifer some months ago, maybe even the last year, about her proposal for a project here. And I'm really glad to see this because I think it's innovative. I think in this little neck of the woods here, because it's right, it's across the street from some houses. Kellogg School is sort of catty corner. You've got the big Mormon church with its huge extended parking lot, which has little benefit during the week. But you have the wonderful Cambridge Church with its wonderful architecture of the late 50s, early 60s, maybe. So there's, to me, the visual component with the slant, with the sloped roof, sort of mirroring how that site looks, how that building looks. I think the only thing of concern to me is
because you've heard in my initial questions, is about the interjection of the Victorian house, which right in the middle between these two structures, which this one's very modern and the other church was very modern, I'm sure, when it was built at the time. It sort of feels like an anomaly, and I would like to honor the Italianate, whatever those things are that hold up the roof, whatever those, I don't know. Corbels, right? That they just repainted, and I heard how lovingly what they did, what kind of time and effort they took to make sure they were intact and put them back up. But how different that looks from this house. So to me, it's the compatibility is kind of is difficult because you have this Victorian element in between the two projects, between the two buildings. So that's why my concern is to have sufficient landscaping on the north side of that driveway to kind of to soften that view so that you don't kind of see the back of that house. That when you see this, you're seeing a lot of nice landscaping. The church has done a nice job, I think, of landscaping their western side, is to see some nice, robust landscaping on that side. You could put a whole row of, you know, big natives over there, some lemonade berries, some toyon, whatever. And I think that would complement the not only the site, because they already have some nice plantings on the site, but sort of the nature of the house, which is modern. You can get these nice natives that go with this. They're very modern feel. I agree with Marcia's comment about the stairs leading up from the street need to be very simple. But I could see a whole village of these, quite frankly. I think it would be very nice. So I'm okay with the design. I like the materials. I like the look of it, at least from what we see in the photos. It may be different when it's done. But that's my issue, is that one piece about compatibility between the Victorian and this house, pretty much. Thank you.
Jonathan?
I'd like to agree with my colleagues about downplaying some of the landscaping on the stairway going up to it. I think we'd actually see the interesting features of the house itself a little better if those cylindrical planters were smaller, at least. I wish that the presentation represented the solar panels, because I'm not clear in my mind, are those going to be flat on the roof and relatively subdued, or are they going to be angled up to catch more of the sun? I think that would look horrible if they're being propped up. So
we don't know yet, that we haven't gotten to that part, but we'll take your comment into consideration. Okay. For sure.
Continue. Karis?
I have a bunch. I'm sorry. I think when you're trying a new technology, you gotta be a little careful about, you have to be a little careful about plunking something down onto the site. It has a feeling like it's an alien spaceship that just landed there suddenly. And that happens a lot. It's not, I don't think it will kill the project. I think you have a pretty idea of the curvature, and that can be really interesting in the landscape if it's set into the landscape. Whereas right now you're sort of putting it on top and just showing us the pretty parts without showing us the other parts that then kind of make it more interesting for me ecologically. Gray water coming out of the sinks and the showers into mulch basins, into areas that then are used for various either food or natives or some kind of planting that then takes that into account. This picture in the front here, it looks like you have lawn that runs right into the sidewalk. And that causes a huge problem with water running off, having to keep those lawns looking good, which they never do. And then, so there's this system of berming, like we call them smiley berms, where you capture the water as the surface flow comes off. And if you're gonna put some sort of rainwater capture system, maybe instead of the the columns that nobody likes, the planters that nobody likes, those could be made out of the same material, where you would have big cisterns that capture rainwater and hold it, and then it's able to transfer into the landscaping, or however you want to do that. You can also do it underneath your paving areas, your living space areas. I think you have an opportunity here with those front steps being like that. It almost forms a front step stoop, which is not very popular here in California, but back east, everybody hangs out in the front of their building. And you know, everybody walks by and everybody's talking to each other and the dogs are out there and the kids are playing and stuff like that. So you have the opportunity to create this like front porch stoop kind of situation happening. And especially for low-income people is that often they don't have the opportunity to have these beautiful outside spaces. The outside spaces just kind of gets forget in the like cost analysis and all that kind of stuff. So giving them a front stoop, you know, where they can hang out and people can see them, it can be really great. Same with your patio in the back. You know, you really want to shade that south side of the house anyway. So you want to have something that comes over and brings the shade over, that brings the water from the laundry out, especially if you're going to be doing agriculture to the back. And that can be a really nice connection there of water that just normally just gets sloughed into the storm sewer. You shade that area, make it more like an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor living space. So now they have the indoor place, you know, when, you know, the weather's maybe not that great, but it's so wonderful here most of the time. You can, now that's an amenity for the people that live there, and they have their barbecue there, and the kids can all be playing out there while they're cooking dinner, and it becomes a whole nother usable space. And on that note, your garage is very small, and what seems to happen, especially if you're having like three families in here, is that there's gonna be need for more room, sheds, bikes, you know, stuff like that, so that there's a place where those things can be put away so that they don't become junky looking. I think that happens a lot in low income houses, is that it looks junky because they don't have anywhere to put stuff. So having extra storage things that maybe have the same curvature on them that sort of then look like part of the thing. So now instead of plunking down a building in the middle of an ecosystem, you're actually like creating a little miniature ecosystem.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Elizabeth?
Hi, thank you. I also wanted to comment, I love the windows, love those front doors. Those are just beautiful. One of the, I guess, thoughts about this is with the master lease, just defining on those boundaries with whatever the church property is, especially on the other side of that driveway. I'm always concerned with things like that, especially if you're going to have it go out as a rental. You want that to just be a little cleaner or... Thank you. With the property, with the use of the church property.
You want to add something else?
You know, I do. Karis brought up an interesting thought I hadn't really thought about, but living nearby, the church is. If you look at the landscaping in front of the church, it's mostly mulch, with plants, mulch around plants. So, this house, this project should sort of mirror how that site looks. And if you look at, I think it's great landscaping. It's all pretty much drought tolerant and some really good plants there. But the issue always is with new houses is, as Karis pointed out, people's stuff. And this site is, they have a very small congregation. Even during their Sunday morning services, there are very few cars on the site. So I don't know how many people are going to live in this house or how many cars are going to be associated with this house. But I think if you want the house to look like it belongs to the church and on the site, there's got to be room for people parking on the driveway or in some other area. Because as we know, people don't park in their garages. They fill it with stuff. It's in my neighborhood. They're all stuff. So
well, it's good that you have a garage, people are going to have to, where they'll either park on the driveway, have a lot of cars parking on the driveway, or they'll be parking on the street, which is okay. But I think that to really make it look like it belongs as part of the streetscape, if you will, of the church and the Victorian house, not to have a car line driveway. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes some of the houses in my neighborhood, there's six cars, there's five cars in the front yard. And I don't think you want that to happen here. I think you want this house to be more of an example of what this kind of project can be. And I think, as Elizabeth said, it's about the definition between the church's property, if you will, with their, and what is allowed on this property, however you define that. So those are my additional comments.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you all for your good comments.
I'll jump in. I don't want to rehash things other people have said, but with regards to the aesthetic and the neighborhood compatibility of it, between the two churches and the school, this sort of fits right in the middle of that. It's got pieces of components of each, kind of. So while, you know, there is not another house in the neighborhood that looks like that, my pointed little brain can reach for that and see a connection. I think it's interesting. I think it's an experiment worth pursuing, and it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. While the round component is one of the points you're trying to utilize in terms of, you know, the valuation of it, because that's difficult to construct and this machine can do it well. That being said, round space, being in a round space, is not always the greatest thing. It's okay, but you know, it can. I don't know. There's kind of a psychology on that of being in a completely round place that is not disconcerting, but I would just say maybe study that. Having some curves is cool, but being in a completely round room, you know, it's difficult to furnish in terms of putting stuff against it and hanging pictures and stuff. I don't know. It's just something to consider. While I like the form, though, I think the elevations are nice. I think the forms themselves are organic, and I think it works relatively well. Another thing I would caution about, I don't know, this is just a personal preference, but while the glass blocks, the colored glass blocks, are having them have color, while that's kind of a groovy idea, that can, you know, it can clash with what your aesthetic is. And while I like how they fit in the forms aesthetically, I wonder if, you know, a more neutral, you know, like the block of the three blocks I'm looking at right there, the one on the left, maybe a neutral color or even clear, or I don't know. I'm wondering if that might be more friendly over the course of time. You know, I mean, when you add color like that, it can date you. Just a thought, you know. But I think overall it's really interesting, and I think it'll be an interesting experiment to see that come to fruition. I do agree about, since it is, you know, low income, trying to think about storage space and places for stuff. I think that's worth considering. So. Do we have any online or speaker slips?
Thank you, Chair Branch. At this time, I don't see anyone joining via Zoom, and I did not receive any speaker slips.
Okay, great. Anybody have any other comments?
Yes, I'd like to pick up on one point that you were making, Chair Branch. Mm-hmm. At this point, I could not make findings for neighborhood compatibility. And with the variety of architecture in the neighborhood to draw from, I would encourage you to look to some examples around there, the churches and the schools, and even the red house next door, and try to acknowledge some of those ideas and incorporate them for a more compatible addition to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Jim?
Yeah, to pick up on what you were saying about curvilinear construction, I worked with Bertrand Goldberg out of Chicago, who's an architect, designing Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And I don't know if you're familiar with that hospital, but it's shaped like a clover leaf in four curvilinear patterns. And I did most of the politics on getting the thing built. And it's very interesting that the people who had to work in that kind of a curvilinear space at first found it very, very difficult, particularly the physicians. And the reason they found it difficult is that, you know, physicians are used to going down a hallway where there are 30 rooms and then writing orders and leaving. But in this particular case, they had to do each clover leaf and write their orders. But they also got very sort of discombobulated about where they were. And I think that you should just be aware of that. I'm not suggesting that this is not going to work for you, but I am saying that you need to be aware of some of the issues that confront people who have to live and work in curvilinear construction like that.
One other thing about that. My high school was round. So it had round halls, it had round classrooms, and it was okay, because they're bigger. I think my comment is really when they start to get smaller, the radius decreases, I guess, and it starts to feel more like that. When it's bigger, it's more comfortable. So, any other comments? So this is just conceptual review. Do we need to make a motion, or do we just say thanks and thanks and we enjoyed the conversation?
See you later.
What was your question?
I wanted to address one of the concerns that several people had about storage and lots of cars on the driveway. There'll be one family living here,
right.
Period. And
right.
it will not, I mean, it's not going to be three families living in it.
Right,
and
no.
the management will be with a social service provider. Right. So that will be controlled, and that'll be part of the master lease, just so you know that.
Okay. Very good.
Good.
Thank you guys for showing us that.
Yes, thank
you. It's really an interesting project.
Thank you for pursuing it. Thank you, Jennifer, for all your work.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. That takes us to item D. Any announcements by members and staff? Okay. Then with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.